I don't think I could stand to live in Barrow, Alaska. You see, there it's not only extremely cold temperatures, but it's also dark. From like November 18th through January the 24th, there's no light. It's just darkness. In fact, on January 24th, the townsfolk get together to celebrate the fact that light has finally come after 65 days or so of darkness. They get together and celebrate. Well, is that what the prophet Isaiah is talking about here this morning in Isaiah chapter 60? Is he talking about the folks in Barrow, Alaska, who would be happy when the light finally comes? No, I think not. He's talking about a different kind of darkness, a different kind of light, if you will, a spiritual light, a spiritual darkness. And this spiritual light, when it comes, there will be great joy, magnificent happiness when that light overcomes that spiritual darkness. Well, this morning is January 3rd, and Epiphany is January 6th. It's Wednesday of this week, but this is the closest Sunday, so we're celebrating this Epiphany. And Epiphany is just simply a word that means unveiling or revealing. And Jesus reveals, or it's unveiled, as to who this Messiah really truly is, that he is truly the Son of Man and yet truly the Son of God also. He is the Savior to the world as we celebrate the Magi coming and bringing their gifts. They're from the East, certainly not Jews, but yet the Savior is for them as well, as we heard last week, as the Magi came and brought gifts to the Savior. He's the Savior for all. Savior for all people, for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And this morning we celebrate the fact that too, Epiphany is, could be summed up, I guess, in one little phrase, that the darkness is squelched by the light. Jesus, the true light of the world. There is darkness, isn't there? We live in a dark world, and it has been that way, isn't it? There's been sin and evil all the way back in time since Adam and Eve, when they first broke God's law, obedience to God by eating of the fruit. Sin entered in. We see more sin and darkness with Cain and Abel, Cain killing Abel. In the days of Noah, we certainly see a lot of darkness and evil in the world, as the Bible describes Noah and his family as the only righteous ones on earth. In fact, it even says that all people's thoughts at that time were evil. Imagine living in a world like that, where every man's thoughts were turned evil. Terrible, dark, sinful world in which we live. Even in Jesus's day, there was a lot of evil, a lot of sin, a lot of corruption going on. And this morning again we hear about this evil guy, King Herod. Herod, who was so jealous that his throne would be taken away by this new king of the Jews, by this Jesus who was born. So Herod puts a decree out to kill all babies, boys 2 years old and younger. And hopefully that way Herod's throne would be protected, he thought. Herod, an evil, terrible man who even had a couple of his sons killed because he was afraid that they were going to try and take over his throne. But the angel, of course, comes to Joseph in a dream, and Joseph obeys. The angel takes Mary and the child, and they're fleeing to Egypt to be safe. And then when Herod dies, the angel again comes to Joseph and says, okay, it's safe now to return. Evil and darkness. It's still around today as we look at the world in which we live. We see ISIS and Al-Qaeda prevalent in other parts of the world. The evil and the corruption, the disregard for human life. There's all kinds of darkness and evil. But you know, there's also evil and darkness even in our own country, isn't there? Here in the United States, there's evil and there's darkness. It's all around us. Watch the news. You can hardly go one night of watching the news without hearing about a murder or some other violent crime that has taken place right here, maybe in Chandler or in Mesa or in Phoenix or Sun City, wherever it was, there's always seems to be some darkness, some evil, some sin that occurs, even in our own backyard here in our country or in our city. Evil is all around, darkness. Even in our world, as we look around in our country and we see that, sin, sexual sins are on the uprise, and abortions and euthanasia is still going strong, and there's the drugs and all these addictions that are so strong in people's lives today. We see the sin and the darkness that is still so prevalent. And we see that morality has certainly dropped in our country as well. I mean, think back, got to go back a few years here, 30, 40 years, where girls, remember, you were not even to show your ankles, right? Okay. Anyone remember that? Is that okay? Nowadays, it's the shorter the shorts, the better, right? Okay. And if you have some stuff up top, then you show some more. Just wear a little bit up top, right? Our morality has declined over the years. We see that, there's no longer the Ten Commandments in public buildings. That has to be taken away. There's no longer prayer in public school any longer. The morality here in the U.S. certainly has declined. There's darkness all over our world. Certainly in our country, there is darkness as well. Do you know what? Even within ourselves, there is darkness, an incredible amount of evil and darkness. And we hear TV celebrities and we hear therapists and all these other counselors say, well, look inside yourself. Dig deep in your own heart and you'll be able to find strength. You'll be able to find goodness if you look deep enough in your heart. But you know what we find when we look deep enough in our own hearts? As we find that natural sin, we find more materialism, we find more selfishness, and we find that we're not so good on the inside, are we? We are just evil and dark also on the inside. We look around at ourselves. We look deep in us, and we know that that darkness prevails even in our lives as Christians, even in our hearts as we try and live for Christ. That evil and that darkness is still there. So what's the cure? How can we solve the darkness and the evil and the sin? It's simple. Darkness is covered, is squelched by the sun, by light. S-U-N, sun, comes into the world and squelches the darkness. And the S-O-N, Jesus, comes and he squelches the darkness. He squelches the darkness in the world. He squelches the darkness in our country and in our own individual lives by that light of Christ living inside of us. The light of Christ now dwells within our hearts. And that's the cure for darkness. It's Jesus and his magnificent forgiveness that he has in Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, there are so many that live in the darkness that don't even realize that they are living in the darkness. People think that, oh, I'm a pretty good person. I'm fine. I live a pretty good life. I'm better than so many other individuals. And so they live their lives thinking that they're fine, that they're okay, that if I try hard enough, if I really do my best here, I'm going to be fine. God will understand that, yeah, I mess up once in a while, but I try my hardest. I do what I can to live a good life. And you know what? I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be okay. God knows, and I'm trying my hardest to live a good life. But folks, if we look at our own selves, the reality is that if we think we are okay on our own, then we're still living in the darkness. Because we can't do it by ourselves. We are saved by the grace of God, and it's his mercy, his grace poured out upon us that saves us. Nothing that we can do. Everything that we do is like filthy rags. It's all because of what Jesus has done for us. Salvation is by God's grace alone. And those who think that they can do it on their own, we're simply living in the darkness. They're not living in the true light, in the grace of God, of Jesus, that he has done it all for us. It's because of his great love for us. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says that God has made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our sins. Spiritually speaking, we were dead. We had nothing to bring us to life. We could not bring ourselves to life in Christ, but it's only through him. God reaches out to us and makes us alive through his water and baptism and through his sacraments and his word. His Holy Spirit comes upon our lives and it makes us alive. We're born again, if you will. We are born again Christians, as that old spiritual life of death and destruction and darkness is brought into the light of Jesus Christ. And his grace and his mercy comes upon us, and we realize that, yeah, we can't do it on our own. We can't save ourselves, but it's only through God, through Christ, and what he has done for us. We were dead in our sins, but Christ, God, has made us alive in Jesus Christ. You have the light of Christ shining in you. The risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ lives inside of your heart. And that darkness that was once there is now illumined by the light of Jesus Christ. You have the light of Christ so that you know that whatever you have done in your life, it's been squelched by the light. The light has come into your life, and there's no more darkness. No more sin and gloom and suffering, because Jesus has paid the price for that sin. And we know that we're saved through him, through his grace. And now that we have that light, now that you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, he wants us to be beacons of light as well. He wants us to illumine that love of God to others, not so we can look good ourselves, but so we can show others Christ and his love. Yes, we have that light, and now we are to illumine that light to others. Matthew 5:16 puts it this way. It says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So we are to do these good deeds in response to the gifts that God has given us. He has saved you. The light of Christ lives in you. So what's our response? Our response is we let that light of Christ show to others. By treating others well and loving others and showing compassion to them, we're letting the light of Christ show through in our lives. And that light of Christ gets illumined to other folks. There was a family of four who were out on a boat. And they were quite a ways from shore, and a storm came up. The waves were buffeting the boat, and a heavy rainstorm downpouring, and the boat eventually sunk. And the people, the four folks, or the family, was able to swim away from the boat, and they were able to get a little ways away, and the father says, to the family, "Well, let's swim to the shoreline. We can make it." But then the mother and the kids said, "Well, which direction do we go?" It was completely dark at this time, and they didn't know which way to go. Do we go this way? Do we go that way? Which way is the shoreline? The electricity is off. We can't see anything. There's no light to direct us which way to swim. If we go the wrong way, we'll perish because it's too cold. We'll be too tired. We'll drown. And then the little boy saw a little light shining forth in one direction. And he said, "Look, look. There's a little light. There's the shoreline." And they swam and swam through that storm, and they got to the shoreline. And they, as they got closer, they could see that what they saw was a little candle in a window that somebody had lit. So they could see the light. They could see which way in order to swim. Well, they got up, and eventually they made their way over to that house, and they knocked on the door, and the people let them in and gave them some blankets and got them warm and comforted them. And the family said, "Thank you so much for having that light shine in the window. How did you know that we would need that light?" They said, "We didn't know that you needed that light. We just had that because the electricity was off. We're just showing, we just had that light lit. We didn't know it was going to help some individual. And that's how our lives are too. As we illumine the love of God, as we let our light show forth, we don't direct it and the glory to ourselves, but we say, we glorify God and what He has done for us in our life. We don't know what people will be affected by our little lights that shine. Your little light that flings maybe some flame up and down once in a while, it could save some individuals from perishing as they see what Jesus and His life means to you and your relationship with Him. It could save others as they look to you to be the light that directs them to the true light of the world, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Arise, your light has shined. Our Savior has come. Amen. Please rise as we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that true light of the world, who has come and squelched the darkness of our sin, who has squelched the darkness of death and Satan for us. Lord, help us now to illumine that light, to show that light, reflect that light to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.